Welcome to the Power Pack Conversation Series, where we calibrate coherent conversations with high achievers. Good morning, Israel.
Good morning. Very good to be here.
So lovely for you to be here. We've just been sitting in the sun, and as usual, connecting with you is real and inspiring, full of questions and conversation around growth and development in quite a unique way. Israel, just for the listener, was just sharing with me around the inspiration he feels at a very critical juncture in terms of your growth. So I'd like to really step into that as soon as we can in this conversation, because I'm quite excited to hear more.
Yes, I'm very happy to share some of my experiences. And from a recent trip to Israel,
yes.
You know, I've been absolutely inspired by that history and how it can apply to my life.
Mm. For the listener, Israel was sending pictures of him floating in the Red Sea, which was quite interesting. I love those.
Yes, yes. It was truly an inspiring journey. I think, you know, when you realize the history of, you know, that part of the world,
yeah.
And both from, you know, a historical perspective, also from a religious perspective,
yes.
You cannot leave the place not feeling inspired.
Yes.
And that's where I find myself at the moment as I go through my own business journey, my own growth from an individual perspective, as
yes.
well as from a mental perspective. You
yes.
know, we've been through 3 years of very, very tough and trying times.
Mm.
And, you know, to find a space for you to do that and a safe space to do that, you know, I'm rejuvenated, if I can call it that.
Yes, but you know, what strikes me in our conversation, we've been in a coaching space for a few months now. One of the key takeouts in terms of the way I experience you handling yourself as the founder and CEO of a formidable business is your ability to self-regulate.
Mm-hmm.
Understand the features of the situation and press reset. So going to Israel and experiencing that culture and all the dynamism that comes with it.
Yes.
To me, that was indicative of one of the ways in which you regularly do that as a leader.
Yes, yes. No, I often do find that having that space
yes.
to just to unplug a little bit
yeah.
and to, you know, recalibrate myself,
yes.
you know, is a very, very important part of my journey. So in the last 10 years I've been in business, I've had to experience, types of, you know, experiences
yes.
with customers, yes. with staff, with
yeah.
stakeholders, with the financial institutions, and in anticipation, you know, of being able to, you know, respond to the world
yes.
and not to necessarily react to the world,
yes.
you know, getting away just to unplug has served me very, very well.
Yes.
In the last 5 years, I think I have been able to disconnect at least 4 or 5 times.
Mm.
And those were always coming at critical junctures when I had to make either a very big decision or take
yes.
the next step.
Yes.
You know, when I ever come across those situations, that's when I'm able to kind of recalibrate myself and say, okay, this is the sort of person that I need to be.
Yes.
This is the sort of person that I need to be thinking of myself as.
Yes.
And then, you know, to constantly validate myself.
Yes.
You know, especially as I go towards those journeys, because they are, you know, and I do recognize that there are going to be moments of self-doubt.
Yes.
Whether it's internally fed
yes.
or it's coming from the outside world, you know, there needs to be a subconscious behind my mind to say, no, this is the long-term picture, and to have that picture.
Mm.
When I started MPI in first yes. 10 years ago,
yes.
One of the things I used to do is that I had a banner, an MPI banner made for myself. And I actually had that in my bedroom.
Ah.
So, you know, the last thing I saw was an MPI banner. And then
Was it on the duvet or was it on the wall?
Oh, it was on the walls and everything like that. I took down all the pictures, and everything that I had around me was really about, you know, trying to be motivated by my own brand.
Yes.
And that worked.
Yeah.
Absolutely worked.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that, you know, it was something that I'm able to kind of acutely be aware of.
Yes.
Particularly when things get a bit tough.
Yeah, so in the coherence model that we've been working through, the vertebrae number three, which is alignment, train stations and destinations, understanding what your destination is and using that as a magnet.
Yes.
To pull yourself
towards
your goal. I mean, that's what you're describing. You still haven't told me whether it was on the duvet or the wall, but I'll ask you afterwards.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've spent some time in Europe. Your story is a very interesting one. How did your time in Europe influence you in terms of the kind of leader you are now?
So, you know, my time in Europe was really spent between two countries, Switzerland and the UK.
Okay.
And my experience of Switzerland, and if you look at the history of Switzerland, particularly after the Second World War, Switzerland recognized that it was one of those enigma countries that wasn't necessarily devastated by the effects of the Second World War. And one of the things that I picked up about, you know, the Swiss personality types is that they're very low key.
Yes.
They've got a way of being able to operate under the radar for a very long time until they need to step up and show their true colors. And that's one of the things that I've actually walked away with, that, you know, if I'm working towards something pretty big, that I operate under the radar so that I don't attract too much attention, because that can become very distractive for me. And then when it's time to show my true colors, then I step up. And then before the world knows it, you know, then they have to deal with this individual type of person. And that's the sort of personality that I am. You know, that, you know, when I started my business, you know, I started with very few people knowing, and then the next thing, people started to see that I had a company, and I had a board of directors, and I had, you know, plus, you know, 50 clients there. And that's how I've always operated.
So interesting, because just for the listeners, Israel and I were chatting before this podcast, and my sense of you is that you are elegantly discreet. It's interesting, though, when you work in an entrepreneur space, plenty of founders, aggressive ambition, competitive markets, global markets, there's often the assumption that one should wear your aggression on your sleeve. One should come through very bold and directive. I'm a pretty bold and directive character, right? So I'll go and provoke, but then in the coaching space, that's my style. Whereas my experience of you is discretion first, elegance first. But as we said, if you watch over the last years, and particularly where you're going now, you are very aligned with your destination and your train stations. And as one gets to understand how you tick, my observation, as I've got to experience you, is that you are very committed, almost like a torpedo. You're locked in terms of where you're heading. I remember the Employment Appreciation Day we had recently. I was watching you present to teams. It was an amazing day with a very dynamic crew. But the strategy you presented, it had me realize just how refined you are in terms of staying committed to where you want to land up. So the flag in the room, this makes sense.
Most of my successes have come through, you know, because of commitment. You know, and I need to be associated with people that are committed. I need to, you know, be committed towards the bigger picture. And in recognizing that the bigger picture does take some time. You know, time is not what I'm afraid of, you know, because I know that there's lots of it. So I'm prepared, you know, to do what it takes until I get to my destination. And once I get there, then I create a new, you know, dream or a new goal for myself going forward. And that's what my time in Switzerland has taught me, you know, that, you know, starting from the bottom is where we all need to be. It's about pacing yourself in the race. You know, of a, let's say, 8,000 meter race. You know, you start off somewhat gently. And then in the last 200 meters, you have that sudden burst. And before you know it, everybody who hasn't been observing you, you know, has to now start to rethink and recalibrate their minds to be able to keep up with you. And now suddenly you're driving the pace of that particular race. And that's the sort of race that I've always, you know, tried to run. You know, I'm running a 8,000 meter race. I'm not running a 100 meter to race.
Yeah, it's a lovely analogy. You know, the samurai talk about the short sword and the long sword.
That's right.
The short
yes.
sword is your short game.
Yes.
But what you're describing is, you know, exactly how to use your long sword.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So my time in the UK, you know, was an interesting time. I grew up in the Margaret Thatcher era.
Ah, my daughter's favorite character.
And it was also a very interesting time because, you know, the kind of, you know, England at the time was a country where it was very much isolated from the rest of Europe.
Okay.
You know, they were still jostling about how they were going to be integrated into Europe, whether or not they were going to use the euro currency.
Yes.
You know, were they going to be adhering to what Brussels said?
Yes.
And, you know, there was still this tug of war between, you know, wanting to keep your own identity, but then integrating with the rest of the world.
Mm.
You know, and my time there, and one of the things I certainly did learn is that in the long term, you know, integrating with the rest of the world is such a critical thing.
Yes.
We can't do things alone.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, I recognize today that, you know, even though with all the skill sets that I've had and the qualifications that I have, you know, I still can't do things on my own.
Mm.
You know, I need to leverage off the strengths of other people.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things I've also learned is that, you know, when you're sitting in a room with power and you're confronted with very powerful people over there, you know, the chances of your success is in the numbers of people that you can have on your side that come with their own strengths.
Yes.
So in that room when you're confronted with power, you know, you need to grow your own base.
Yes.
You know, whereby, you know, you can actually be able to kind of talk to power.
Yes.
Within your own, with your own powerful strength as well.
Yes. So that's more of that alignment.
Yeah.
Understanding your train stations along the way.
Yeah.
What kind of strengths and power do I need to harness to tee myself up for the next station and the next station?
Yes.
So now this chapter, NPI, Corporate Governance Consulting, the space that you're architecting, everything you've just described seems to be playing out very well. You, in and of yourself, are a powerful player in terms of creating alliances and a center point that generates connection and opportunity for people.
Mm.
Tell us a little bit about NPI.
So NPI Governance Consultant initially started off as a B advisory firm.
Got it.
The legislation had changed in 2007. There was a nice market for us to provide consulting services to companies that wanted to comply and obviously wanted to kind of position themselves as a transformed business.
Yes.
Fast forward to today, you know, where we have secured quite a few clients in the private sector. We do very, very little government business. You know, the demand now for is wanting to be a trusted advisor.
Yes.
So we're now positioning ourselves as trusted advisors rather than just being, you know, BE consultants, you know, from a tech buck perspective.
Lovely.
And what that has enabled us to now to do is to kind of go into other areas of opportunity. So today, you know, we have a private equity fund.
Yes.
And, you know, we're able to kind of go into mid-sized companies and make investments. And the value that we bring is that we come off a base of 10 years of experience with clients where we can actually bring a lot of business best practices in those particular environments.
Okay.
At the same time, we've also got a training and development and learnership company.
Mm.
In a country where there's high unemployment, you know, the role that we play in trying to close the gap of unemployment, you know, we want to play a role in creating more jobs. And that's one of my mantras, and my personal mantras is to create more jobs wherever I go to.
Yes. Yes.
We also have a fintech business that we're in the process of cloning on. And then we also have a governance board advisory business, you know, that we're also in the process of closing. So these are very exciting times for me right now.
Sure.
And, you know, as we grow our business, we want to be positioned as a smart business, an agile business, a listening business, and for us to kind of take South African companies so that we can also help them launch pad into the rest of the African continent.
Yeah, so what I'm really hearing is that there's an integrated variety of services
yes.
that you're offering and speaking to in the market.
Yes.
You talk about agile. How does this link to your leadership? Because my experience of you is someone who's radically growing in his leadership capacity.
Yes.
You spoke about European influence. Clearly, you have a deep love for South Africa and are someone who's harnessing the issues and the opportunities in South Africa. Mm-hmm. But sitting in front of me is a formidable leader who's grown from strength to strength. Agility and leadership, what are you learning?
Well, you know, one of the things I had to learn very quickly is that I needed to learn to lead myself.
Yes.
You know, and be able to kind of regulate my emotions, regulate my expectations, and regulate my views and even my own biases for that matter.
For the listener, Israel's got a big grin on his face and he has actually quite an amazing grin. You'd actually start to grin if you looked at him.
Yeah.
So he's saying that with humility, but also a sense of humor, I can see.
Yes, you know. Yeah. And over the years, I've and learn to, you know, lead smaller teams. You know, we initially started off with one person, then it was four people.
Yes. How long ago was that, Israel?
And that was about nine years ago.
Got
you
it.
Know, and I had to learn how to, you know, meet their expectations as well as meet the expectations of our customers and have that fine balance, you know, in that. And as we started to grow, I then needed to learn how to identify future leaders.
Yes.
You know, so that you know, my role was not necessary to manage and lead people, but really to lead leaders. You know, and that's where I find myself at that juncture, is that you know, I'm now working, you know, with organizations like EEO, entrepreneurship organizations. I'm learning what is it like to lead, be a leader amongst leaders.
Yes.
You know, and it's what's happening at the moment for me is that I'm beginning to use a lot more of my EQ than I am using my IQ, you know, and being attuned to, you know, currently, you know, what, you know, my teams and my, you know, the people that I work with do.
Yes.
Because, you know, that's a skill set that we're going to be needing now, you know, going into the new world of work, is the ability to be able to read people, the ability to be able to use your gut instinct and to be able to, you know, make sure that you're able to accommodate, you know, differences and as well as changes in the environment as quickly as possible without necessarily losing the values in which you've come from.
Yes. So consciously investing in and harnessing potential in your people is very obvious when you, you walk into your crew. You can see that there is a fundamental intent to invest in people.
That's right. Yes. So, you know, in summary, I call it conscious leadership.
Yes. Lovely.
You know,
that's the
era that we're entering into.
Sure.
And gone are the days when that dictatorial, you know, the patriarchal or hierarchical leadership style, you know, works in our organization. You've got to lead from the back. You can't lead from the front anymore now, because I think we've seen that either in the world of politics or in the world of business or in the world of civil society, academia, that those leaders that are trying to still lead from the front will quickly, you know, hit rock bottom quite quickly.
So in terms of coherent leadership, you leading from behind, from the back, consciously leading, investing in people.
Yes.
The first vertebra in the coherence model we've been dealing with is, what do I most want to feel? In other words, if I don't orientate around that which is most true for me, I may reach many destinations, but I might not feel they're sufficient.
Yeah.
I might not be satiated.
Yes.
It's the same for teams, though. If we as leaders start to ask sometimes the tricky questions, what is it that you most want to prove to yourself in this role? What is it that you most want to feel in your professional life? These are amazing rudders to invest, engage in teams. Smart questions. If you think of your own teams and we had to guesstimate as to who wants to most feel what in their professional space, what are the kind of themes that come up? I mean, I've met some of your crew. And there were some very colorful and engaging, wide awake characters. What's the energy of the culture at NPI in terms of what people most want to feel in their professional space?
I think what most people want to feel is a sense of autonomy.
Yes, lovely.
A sense that, you know, they are in control.
Interesting.
Because South Africa's history,
yes,
is very much based on micromanaging communities.
Hmm.
In the home, the father of the household there, if there is a father,
yes,
you know, micromanages everybody.
Yes.
Tells where you're going to study, where they're going to work,
yes,
what time they're going to get picked up, and when they're going to go to church or they're going to go to some place of worship.
Yes.
You know, so there's already that micromanagement. At the political level, you know, we often found that people were told where they could stay,
yes,
what time they could go. And, you know, we're now in a dispensation,
yes,
where people want to break away,
yes,
from that micromanagement, you know, and be able to, you know, predetermine,
yes,
you know, where they're wanting to go to.
Yes.
And one of the things that we want to do at NPR is that we want to create that platform.
Yes.
You know, but that platform does come with responsibility and it comes with accountability.
Yes.
So where I find myself at the moment is that I'm trying to lead by saying that, you know, if you want to have this autonomy,
yes,
learn to be accountable and learn to be accountable in a fearless way, you know, and accept, you know, that there are going to be times of difficulties,
yes,
but also have the humility,
yes,
you know, to be able to ask for help.
Yes.
You know, and that's basically what I want to do at NPR is provide that platform for people.
Yes.
Many people that have joined us over the last 10 years have gone on to bigger and better things.
Yes, lovely.
And you know, I you know, see that as one of my jobs to do that.
Yes.
But as obviously as we grow,
yes,
we now want to kind of be able to take that at a much more larger scale,
yes,
through the businesses that we bring into the kind of NPR group of companies.
Lovely. So accountability, part and parcel, key ingredients,
yeah,
to reach a state of autonomy, almost,
yes,
taking agency of oneself.
Yes.
You and I have been chatting about the adherence model, which is this way of understanding how we can be more consistent,
yeah,
by looking at our level of skill,
mm-hmm,
compounded by a level of focus, compounded by a level of consistency.
Yeah.
So it's interesting if you think of all of us taking agency and being accountable, we really need to get on the inside and be able to assess ourselves. Mm-hmm. In terms of if I'm skilled, how consistently and with what focus am I demonstrating and activating that skill?
Yeah.
So certainly in terms of our coherence coaching program, one of the vertebrae is to say, how can I self-measure in order to be on my top game? And we're having a top 5% conversation in terms of performance. So in South Africa, it's interesting to be able to gift employees with that tool. Certainly in my coaching programs, I see it a lot. How, instead of someone else telling us whether we're good enough or not, can we self-measure? Are we prepared to stand up and measure our own focus and consistency with our skills?
Yeah.
As a way of creating excellence for autonomy.
Yeah.
Certainly some of your crew I engaged with were very open to the idea of self-measurement, which is a lovely indication of you offering a springboard for people into their greater careers, which is really what I experienced NPI to be about.
Yeah.
It was a launch pad for people to grow and expand. Significant growth company.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that you know, whilst we are trying to create this this launch pad, is that we also want to create an very interesting dialogue with a lot of clarity.
Yes.
I myself, for example, you know, always think bigger picture. I always have to think about, you know, the long term, and you know, that long term has to be obviously become sustainable.
Yes.
But then, you know, it's really about articulating clearly what that looks like.
Yes.
You know, and making it a little bit tangible, as at the same time be able to kind of feel it and smell it and be able to engage with it, you know, at an everyday basis. And often when I speak with people about these goals over here, it motivates them.
Yes.
You know, I can suddenly see the spark in their eyes that, yes, I can see me doing something like this because, you know, this is where how I want to be able to identify my own autonomy. So that's the sort of dialogue I'm very interested in having with my colleagues, you know, is, you know, when we say that we want to become a 100 million rand business or 200 million rand business, you know, what does that mean for you every day?
Yes.
And what does that mean for you in terms of this type of activities you engage with every single day?
Yes. You know? Just breaking it down.
That's right. Yes. by the time I made my first million,
yes,
I had to shift from being this type of person, the person that talked in a very specific way,
yes,
behaved in a certain way,
yes,
associated in a different way, from a completely different being now.
Yes.
So, again, you know, as I make my next, you know, embark upon my next chapter of my own life,
yes,
you know, I'm very clear in my mind about the type of person that I need to be.
Yes.
And the intent that I need to bring to the party is around clarity.
Yes. So we've had some interesting conversations around self-observation.
Yeah.
You going and having a look at where you can maximize, where you can optimize, where there's still room for growth. Mm. And I find you to be very open-minded, a lovely sense of humor, to look, to really just candidly look and say, well, where are the opportunities for growth? Clarity in a South African context can sometimes be perceived as confrontation, aggression, criticism, judgment. We all know this. And I find it very interesting to speak with leaders around what's the degree of clarity that you're comfortable with, and how comfortable are your people, your teams, with that level of clarity. So we use this analogy of rather be clear first versus being kind first. Quite a provocative statement. I mean, being kind is what the planet needs. Yes.
Yes.
However, if you're kind but you're not clear, how kind are you being? So as a leader, this interesting kind of balance between being super clear with oneself and one's team as an act of kindness to grow.
Yes.
To grow persons and to grow a company.
Yeah. You know, when people resign, you know, I've had recently in the last few years, people resigning, and I always ask the question, and I believe that's a very clear question, where are you going to?
Yes.
And you can actually see the level of vagueness in their responses, that, you know, they're not leaving because it's you, but they're actually leaving because of X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
And they tend to be a little bit all over the place.
Sure.
And you know, that kind of saddens me, because, you know, you actually know that the person is actually not going into a place where they can be able to be a lot more accountable for themselves with a lot of clarity.
Yes.
But they're actually going into the same type of, you know, environments that they're leaving.
Potentially. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things that I see happening a lot, particularly in these times of, you know, coming out of the COVID lockdown.
Yes.
There's this great resignation phase that we're going through at the moment. And when you ask people why they're moving on, they're not really clear about that.
Mm.
So for me, that is not necessarily upsetting.
Yes.
You know, it's actually an opportunity for me to kind of be able to distinguish those people that are very clear about where they want to go to and work with that and commit myself and my resources to those types of individuals as opposed to people that are not very clear about themselves.
You know, Israel, in a sense, if we speak about clarity, you can break it into two components. There's this idea, and particularly in relation to coherence.
Yeah.
How coherent am I?
Yeah.
How do the parts of myself come together in an optimal way? There's the idea of self-regulation. Teams out there, individuals who are striving for better, who are able to self-regulate their own body, their own mind, their own feelings, their own lifestyle habits, their health, a biggie these days. And then there's the clarity piece around train stations and destinations. What is it that I want to feel more of? What experience do I want to be having more of? And what's enough for me? Vertebrae number five. When I work this out, there's a good chance I'll be more self-aligned.
Yes.
But the clarity is for both. Clarity around how do I self-regulate, and clarity around where I'm going and whether that's going to be enough for me. Is that an anchored and clear destination that I've set for myself? You know, in the 90s, we used to use the word goal. But now it's more about being aligned to a destination, a place of arrival, a place I arrive at more often than not. Let's just talk about your self-regulation. Give us one or two examples out there, just in your personal space, how you self-regulate. I think there was some reference to golf at some point that came up. I want to hear.
So when I start my day, I actually start my day with meditation.
Lovely.
Initially, I could only do 3 minutes meditation.
Yes, well
done. And then I slowly increased that to 6 minutes. And, you know, today I'm able to do actually about 10 to 15 minutes, you know, of meditation. Mm. And what that helps me then to do is to kind of go back to the inner child inside of me.
Yes.
You know, and it's an opportunity to nurture that inner child, to comfort that inner child inside of me, because that little boy has never left me.
Yes.
And that's where, you know, a lot of my fears and a lot of my insecurities might come from. And when I start my day in addressing my fears and insecurity, going out into the world becomes a lot more easier.
Yes.
So I'm able to step into the world either with as a warrior or as a king or as a magician, for that matter, and bring the magic out into the world that I need to bring in.
Lovely.
You know, so that is the one of the ways that I tend to self-regulate, because, you know, as a man, you know, those are the qualities that I come with into the world.
Yes.
You know, I have my little boy.
Yes.
That little boy has always, you know, had been with me all my life.
Sure.
I have my wizard, which brings out the magic,
brings
out the possibilities of anything happening.
Yeah.
My king, which is basically my leadership style.
Yes.
And then the warrior, which is basically my masculinity, my, you know, probably some people would call it toxic masculinity. But
should we put out a vote?
but I think it's, you know, basically where my drive, my biggest drive comes from.
Mm.
And that's what I come to the world with, you know, every time. And obviously diet plays a very big role in that. I'm very conscious about it. I've recently reduced the amount of sugar that I eat. Family time has become an important anchor for me. In fact, in the early days, family was such an important part of my journey that I credit my success to my kids, especially.
Beautiful. So we've got diet and family and meditation that are all key self-regulators for you.
That's right. Yeah. And then at towards the end of the time, travel time.
Yes.
You know, I need to travel.
Yes.
To be able to kind of get out of my own ecosystem and be able to kind of see the world for what it really is, that it's a much more bigger place.
Yes.
And the opportunities are infinite.
Yes.
And it's that recognition that kind of gives me a sense of being able to, you know, rejuvenate myself.
Yes.
You know,
it's so fascinating that you name, you actually sit here as a grown man in South Africa and name inner child. So for the listeners, before everyone goes, oh, now we're going to get into inner child, we're not going to get into inner child conversation. However, masculinity in South Africa, leaders under pressure.
Yes.
I usually refer to the idea of a black swan. When you have left of center events, there's always black swans in the average CEO's life.
Yes.
I see that. I come across that obviously quite often. The idea of unexpected events that knock you sideways. You often hear guys refer to that. That you can refer to your inner child who can be vulnerable, and that you need to self-regulate him, hold his hand, look after him, set yourself up in the day.
Yes.
In the last 5-10 years in South Africa, I'm so proud to see leaders speaking into this, acknowledging. Can you imagine in the 80s if you acknowledge that you look after your little boy every morning through meditation?
No. I mean, in fact, your shareholders would be beginning to wonder if they've got a delinquent director there. Yeah.
For starters. So just acknowledge you. That's really amazing. And then to say there are other aspects of yourself that you can bring out to play as well in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting now in South Africa, as you look at offering the South African business community these different services, how your candid, open, real, authentic set of language and attitudes is also something quite unique around your company, that there's a real man who's able to language his vulnerability, his strengths, who's played on the global arena, who's lived in different countries, understands and is sensitive to the issues in South Africa, who's passionate in terms of taking his people and his company and his clients forward.
Yes.
It's quite an amazing year, this, as things come together. What's on the horizon for you as you enter 2023?
Yes. Yeah, I am, as I said, I mentioned before, you know, I'm at a stage of my life that I now know for a fact that I've got everything that has got to do, you know, that I need to take everything to the next level.
Sure.
There is no doubt in my mind that the type of leader that I will be in the next 5 years will be quite a different personality.
Yes.
The opportunities that I would have created for other people, the opportunities that I would have created for my shareholders, my business partners for that matter, for my customers, for stakeholders at large, you know, will be infinite.
Yes.
You know, from that perspective. And that's really what I want to offer to the world today is that, you know, come with me on this journey.
Yes.
You know, we've come out of a very, very tough time. And, you know, now it's really time to be the authentic best self that you can ever be in this world now.
Sure.
And watch this space.
Lovely ambition.
Yeah.
Said with a lot of grace.
So we're actually in the process of actually acquiring two businesses right now.
Yes.
So what that does for us is that we suddenly, you know, increase the number of headcount in the offices, which is basically something that I've always wanted to do, create more jobs.
Yes.
We are able to go into new customer base that we've never been able to go into.
Okay.
And so we're very much on an acquisition drive at
Got
the
it.
Moment to increase that. And that's the way that I believe that we'll be able to grow through acquisition rather than through organic growth.
Yes.
One of the things that we're going to also be focusing a lot of our attention is learning and development.
Yes.
We're going to be reinvesting into our people, you know, over the next few years, you know, so that we can actually make sure that we're able to be, you know, not just a South African company, but a global company.
Yes.
And that's basically what my objectives are.
Okay.
In terms of financial growth, you know, wealth creation is going to be a very big buzzword.
Yes.
And it's not just wealth creation for myself, but wealth creation for other people.
Yes.
You know, how do you have a relationship, a better relationship with money and be able to, you know, identify what your long-term goals are as what's your, the legacy that you want to keep.
Yes.
So that's one of the things that we're going to start doing more and more of, you know, with the various different stakeholders that I engage with. NPI, you know, is positioning itself to be a commercial and sustainability advisory firm.
Fantastic.
That's what we want to become.
Got it.
You know, I'm very grateful for what BE's done for me.
Yes.
A lot of people are highly critical about what BE's done for me.
Yes.
But I can honestly say that BE has worked for me.
Yes.
You know, and has enabled me to create these opportunities for not just myself, but for other people too.
So in a sense, you've created excellence within a slipstream. You've harnessed it and you've created opportunity for a lot of people around it.
Yeah.
Sure. Not just flirting with it, but actually being able to use BE as a pivot for self-growth and expansion.
Yes.
I must say, before I listened to your strategic outline that you put together and announced to a large group of people, I had an idea of the scope. Once I heard your strategic rollout, I started to realize of the expansiveness of where you're going. And it's a very exciting story. So I'm looking forward to seeing and hearing more from your stable.
Yeah.
But before we go, just more about you.
Mm.
So you're living in Johannesburg and you were suggesting that perhaps you were going to build in a few years' time.
Yes.
So there's this life beyond work.
Yes.
Tell us about Israel. How do you spend your private time? You're a very busy man.
Yes.
But I know from that smile that there is some play going on.
Yes. No, in actual fact, over the next couple of years, at a personal level, I do intend to settle down.
Yes.
I am with somebody at the moment that also happens to be in the same line of business as I am.
Okay.
She's an attorney.
Yes.
So we're hoping that at some point that we can kind of formalize our relationship and start that new chapter in my life. So that's, you know, something I'm looking forward to.
Yes.
I think for the rest of the family, you know, to be able to spend more time with them traveling.
Yes.
You know, that's really what I want to be able to do and, you know, start to create moments and experiences, you know, that really matter. So, you know, money, you know, isn't, you know, my long-term objective.
Yes.
It's about creating more moments and more adventures.
Yes.
About 2 years ago, I took my kids who are today, you know, 21 and 17 years old, skydiving.
Yes.
You know, and those are the sort of moments I want to create because then, you know, it becomes, their lives become a lot more meaningful.
Yes.
Particularly in an era where, you know, male leadership, you know, is being questioned and, you know, and is desperately needed at the same time.
Yes.
You know, as my priority is to be a great father, a great husband, a great leader in my own environment, and that gives me satisfaction.
For sure. I'll never forget when you shared with me, I think I asked you in one of our sessions, you know, where, what's your take on relationships? Where are you at? And we were discussing one or two things. And I'll never forget your comment was, I'm in a space where I want to give.
Yeah.
And I'm, and you didn't say this. My assumption was, oh, he's not caught up in what he needs to retain or hold on to and protect. He's got to that next chapter of his life where he genuinely wants to give.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of looking after someone was not a function of someone needs looking after.
Mm-hmm.
It was a function of what you generously have and want to expand and put on the table and share with somebody. So that was really, that was fundamental to understand about you quite early, that you'd reached that stage in your own development.
Yes.
And now you're sharing that, you know, it's not about the bucks. The money is a function of ambition and success.
Yeah.
It makes the world go round. It certainly supports people in business. But you actually want to have a quality engagement of time. So it's going to be interesting to notice your coherence over the next few years to see if you can get that lovely balance right.
Yes.
Between that very potent quality of time that you want to give to people in your personal life and then growing this business in the way that it's destined to be.
Yeah. Well, you either are contributing towards you know, bringing something to the table or you're taking off the table.
Yes.
And where I find myself is that I want to bring something onto the table because the more that there is, the more people, more people can join you on that same table. I think it's no good going through life, you know, it's having a very large table with nobody to share it with.
You know,
I want to be, you know, in the company of people, family, friends, associates, business partners, and you know, what's good for me, you know, has to, you know, what's good for the goose must be good for the gander too. Yeah.
So what you're really describing is Vertebrae 5, that in a sense you've worked out what enough is, that it needs to have that shared component to really count. Lovely. So Israel, we could go all day. We're going to cut it short here now and say I'm looking forward to working with you going forward. I'm certainly looking forward to engaging with your teams and seeing just how much expansion continues to go on. But thank you very much for sharing some of your thoughts on you, on coherence, and on MPI. It's lovely to connect.
Thanks, Sheridan. And yeah, this is just the beginning of a new journey for me. And I'm very excited that to have brought you into the into a way that I can be able to bring a lot more happiness and joy into the world.
Yes, fantastic. Thanks very much.